Friends, turn with me in the Word of God, please, to Psalm 139. So turn to Psalm 139. And it begins with the word of searching, that God has searched us and known us. What a comfort this is to each one of us, that God knows everything about us. What a great searcher God is. What a great finder He is. What a great revealer He is to us. And He reveals things that are not on the surface. He reveals the deepest things of our hearts. If you have broken a bone and have gone and you've had an x-ray, it may not have been seen on the surface of your body, but the x-ray image shows it. And you look for that crack, you look for that breakage, and you see where the problem lies. Sometimes searching is a sad thing, it's a painful thing, but sometimes it is a rejoicing thing. It causes us to be so glad and so happy. When that mother, for the first time, begins to see on the scan, on the monitor, the picture of the baby and the heartbeat beating in the womb, that life within life, it's an amazing thing, it's a miracle. And it is a cause for rejoicing. And this is what God does. Searches. He makes us sad, but also He searches again and makes us glad as well. May we be given that humble heart as well. But friends, I want us to consider verses 23 and 24. It takes courage for you and I to pray this prayer. I hope you do that this morning. I hope it is in your heart of hearts to pray to God humbly. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, that is to test me, examine me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And then it says this, and lead me in the way everlasting. So it is a very convicting thing, but it's the cry of the heart is, don't let me be there. Let me just examine this, all of this problem. But lead me in the way everlasting. It takes courage to pray that. I wonder if you and I are courageous enough that from the bottom of our hearts, in sincerity, we can pray this. Not every person can do it. Many people fear to look into their own hearts. Have you ever feared something? To look into something? To go into some path, into a dark alley? Into a dark room? Well, children can appreciate that. When the lights are out, fear might come in. Not knowing what you will find in the very dark room. All kinds of things come into your mind. Do you know what you would find if you would be allowed to look into your soul, your heart? Will it be things that will be pleasant, good, wonderful? Things that you can thank God for? Or will they be things that will cause you to be horrified? It takes courage to ask God to search our inner life and to show us how He sees us and about our sin. That is the important thing. How does God see me? For some, He revealed to them their own heart, and then He led them into this everlasting path, into this way everlasting. They are on this path, which is the path of Jesus Christ. They are in Jesus Christ. And now, we see ourselves, yes, we do see sin, but we also see Christ. We see His grace, we see His mercy, we see what He has done, this miracle that He has done. And it wasn't ourselves cleaning up our act, it was the Lord. And He's still working on us. We are that statue, still unfinished. chiseling away at us. But praise God, there is something of His grace. There is something of the image of Jesus Christ there. And so we sing His praise. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But I ask you this, do you know yourself? That's the theme. God, the best searcher of hearts. He shows us who we are. Do you know yourself? It takes honesty as well to pray this prayer. King David, who wrote Psalm 139, was saying that if something wrong was found under God's sight, under His searching sight and searching light, then he would admit to it. He would deal with it. He would throw it out. Some people don't want to find their own sins because they don't want to give them up. They think so much of themselves. They don't see that they are in the wrong. We've all been there. They don't wish to discover their secret faults because they love them. They want to keep them. And so those people cannot pray this prayer. They don't want to pray this prayer genuinely. They might say the words, but not coming from the deep recesses of their hearts. We can't pray this prayer if we are not ready and willing and eager to have the Lord Jesus Christ saving us from whatever evil way, whatever sinful habit or feeling or temper we find in ourselves. Friends, we are not the best judges of ourselves. I'm not the best judge of myself. And I shouldn't trust my own heart. But oftentimes I do. Oftentimes I go by, if I'm happy about something, I think that's the right thing. If I'm upset about something, well, that can't be true. And yet the Bible tells me this in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart. Ooh, how true it is. How foolish we have been at times. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28:26. Oftentimes we quote other texts, but this is a very helpful text as well. So it takes honesty, it takes sincerity to pray to God to search us. Search me, O God. The issue is He's already searched us. He already knows us. The prayer is for ourselves. We want God to reveal these things to us. God is sovereign. He is all-seeing. He's all-knowing. We can't say, well, I'll open my heart to Him. I'll open the door to Him. He's already there. He's there everywhere. In heaven, in hell, all over the world, God by His Spirit exists. But first thing is, very quickly, what we have been talking about. God must search our hearts. God must search our hearts. This is what the psalmist is saying here. He asks God to search him. He doesn't say he will search himself. He's not saying I will take a year out because I want to search myself. I want to see who I am. He doesn't say that. Let me search myself. Let me meditate about my own heart. We sometimes say you should know yourself. But nobody can really know himself in the depths of his being unless God holds the lamp, unless God shows that X-ray before us and shows us, here are all the problems that you have. It is a searching thing. It is a very convicting thing when we see, when you have gone to the doctor and the doctor says, here it is, that's the problem. That's where the cancer cells are growing, here. It turns our world upside down, and it should do. This is the same way with God. God is light, and He reveals what is in the darkness. Christ, you see, is the world's only light. And He is the one who shines into our hearts. He shows these things. He uses His Word. The Spirit of God is sent, and the Spirit shows us these things too. The Lord Jesus Christ said once, I am the light of the world. He knows what is in man, the scripture says. That's why He did not commit Himself to them. Jesus knows the condition, the thoughts of man. He did that with Nathanael. If you remember Nathanael, When Philip went to seek him and said to Nathanael, "We have found this man. We think he's the Messiah." As he was coming, the Lord says that he is a man without, an Israelite indeed, without, a man without guile. And then the Lord says this to him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." The Lord Jesus is not merely a prophet, not merely a teacher. He's not merely a man. He's the Son of God, God incarnate, and he knows all things. He is, by his Spirit, everywhere too. And none but God only can search us. Praise God for that. I find that comforting for myself. It is horrifying, it's fearful, but at the same time comforting. If God searches me, I know he tells me the truth. He's faithful. I don't know myself. He knows me. He has knitted me in my mother's womb. He was there at the beginning. He was there before I was born. And so he knows me all through my life. And he shows us who we are. He shows us to ourselves. And this is why the prayer is really, "Lord, show me myself. Show me myself." It's not that God would search out our heart. He already knows it, but he wants him to show what has been found. The picture, the image is to be found. And that should be your concern. Your greatest concern is not what I think of you. Your concern should have been what your husband, your wife, your children, those friends around you, your neighbor thinks of you. God, think of me. There was a young man who wrote music. He was a composer, and they were going to play his music in a great music hall. Maybe I've said this to you, and it's, many people were there. Many people went to hear and were enjoying, then they were applauding. But that young man who was sitting there listening to his music being played, he was not moved by the applause of people. His eye was on one person, and that was his old teacher who had taught him. All he was interested in, what did the teacher think? And that's the way it is with us. That should be the way it is with us. We listen to the applause of men. We listen to the judgments of men. And we are then moved by that. But we should look to the one who has made us. Not to the cheering crowd or the condemning crowd. Ask the Lord to search your heart. As a Christian too, we need this every day. For the Lord show us. And this is our prayer. This is my prayer every day. Lord, show me my need of thee. Because I need that. Because if I think to myself that I don't need the Lord, if I think full of myself, if I just work harder, if I just am more disciplined, if I just press harder on these things, then I will achieve it. Then I'm fooling myself. The second thing is this. That people are not the best judges. You've thought about this. Here, the psalmist says, "Lord, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." He says, "Search me, O God." He doesn't go to asking his friends. He doesn't go to people around him to search his life and thoughts. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we go to people, "What do you think of me?" You see, people are good at finding faults in others to show where people make mistakes and sins. We're all good at it. We're professionals. We are professional sermon hearers for everybody else. And we think to ourselves, "That's a good sermon for so-and-so." Haven't you done that? You've passed on sermons to people even. And thought this would be good for you to listen to. I did that last week myself. But we easily think that certain things are not for us, but it's for someone else. But it is easier, as it's often said, it's easier to confess the sins of others than our own sins. You remember the story that our Lord Jesus Christ said in that parable? about the Pharisee and the publican, that tax collector, who went to the temple. They both went to the temple to pray. The Pharisees, that one man, that Pharisee, so easily could see the sins and the wrongdoings of the other man, the tax collector. But he saw no fault in himself. He saw no sin in himself. And King David could have found somebody who would be willing to search him and to test him and to point out his blemishes and his wicked ways. But that wouldn't be good enough. Even if you ask someone to point your problems to you, it wouldn't be perfect. It wouldn't be the right, true image of what's happening in your heart. Because I don't know your motives. I just see the outward things, but I don't know what's going on in your heart, why you do certain things that you do. It's just between you and God. And it's the Lord who knows what's going on inside of you. He sees all of these things. Friends, people's judgments are not perfect. Sometimes they are not loving. Sometimes they judge things without any affection towards us, but it's not like that. See, when God shows us things, He shows us out of care and love. He doesn't show these things to crush us and to destroy us. He doesn't do it like that. Sometimes people misunderstand. How many times have you experienced that? How heartbreaking it is. And how many times you have misunderstood people? You thought you knew why they did certain things. In the case, hasn't it, over this past month, we might think about people, well, why don't they do this? Why do they do this? And then we think, oh, they must have this view about such and such a thing. Now, let me say, I don't know why you are wearing masks. Well, because you're told to wear a mask. But you might have various thoughts about it. But I don't know what's going on in your mind in those things. But we make false assumptions and judgments about people. And we experience that. And those kinds of things bring about division, and it brings about heartaches, it brings about disunity. And we see that all around us. The world is full of judgment over each other. The government is full of judgment over each other. And it is hurtful. It brings distrust. And it brings hurt. Because our judgments are not righteous judgments. It's not perfect judgment. And sees the outward, judges the outward. The Lord sees the heart. See, at best, people don't really understand others fully. Their judgments are one-sided. If I was asking you to judge me, you'd be very kind. You'd be very biased. You wouldn't tell me the things that would be very painful for me because you feel for me. And also, another thing is that, as I've said, our own motives. Sometimes we are trying to do something to help someone, and then people turn around and they criticize us for helping them, thinking that we are after something. They read between the lines too much. Don't be asking people what they think of you. And if they think you are a good person or a Christian or a bad person and not a Christian. Do you care so much about what people think of you? It shouldn't matter very much what people may say, good things or bad things about our life. But there is one who sits at the center of all things, upon all things. He has perfect wisdom. He has perfect love. He is perfectly righteous and holy, and whose judgments are without mistake. And we should want always to know what He thinks of us, of our acts, of our words, of our thoughts, of our inner being. So, third thing is God's analysis of you by nature. By nature. How does God see you? What does he say to you? We read in the first book of the Bible in Genesis, which is a historical book. It's all of it is true. It's, none of it is mythical or poetic or anything like that. It's a historical book showing us the events, showing us the doctrines. And there in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, you have this word that it says, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." From his youth. His imagination, not just his acts, not just his, what he does, but the things that he thinks, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It doesn't just say his heart is evil. The imagination, it goes deeper than that. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, and I was quoting this yesterday, to give an analysis, one of the themes that I preached yesterday in the open air was the testing of the killer disease, testing for the killer disease. And one of the first things was the symptoms. What are the symptoms? To see if we've got this disease. And I was quoting this verse that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of in Mark's Gospel. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies, and so on. It's out of the heart," the Lord says. Jeremiah tells us likewise. "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" What does the Lord say about us? All people in this world, he says, they have sinned. All have sinned and come short of my glory, God says to us. "You don't meet my perfect standard," the Lord says. "All like sheep have gone astray." So we are totally depraved. It is to God that we should turn, friends. Because He is not just the searcher of our hearts, but He is also the healer of hearts. He is the, as Spurgeon put it in the sermon, He is the heart changer. He is the heart giver. He gives new heart. That's what you and I need. And that's what you and I, if you're a Christian, should appreciate. He changed my heart. I had no hand in this. And He mercifully did that for me. He knows our frame. He knows that what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust. He understands our weakness. That's what you might feel very weak this morning. In our weakness, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for us, the apostle says. And we had no strength to save ourselves, Christ died for us. He knows human life. The Lord Jesus Christ knows what it is to be man. He has experienced human life. He has experienced hunger and thirst. He has experienced pain, bodily pain. He knows all of these things. He knows the things that enter into our life. And so He can understand you. You might say nobody understands, but the Lord does understand you. You never need to be afraid to open and let God search your heart and lay it all out before you. He knows you anyway, as we have read. But the issue is, do you want to know what He knows about you, what He shows you of what kind of a person you are? Am I prepared for that? Friends, we never need to be afraid to ask Him to search us. Because if we truly want to give up our sins, when we discover them, we will realize that then He leads me in the way everlasting. He leads me to Christ. He brings us to a point of despair, but then He says, "But my Son has died for sinners like you." We'll realize that Jesus Christ is that merciful Savior, gracious Savior, the loving Savior, who did everything to save sinners like us. He did not make salvation possible. Friends, we must get this in our heads. He made it sure for sinners, trusting Christ. And so it's not just saying that He's made it possible, but He's made it sure for all those who put their trust in Him and let Him search their hearts. Have you ever taken the time to think seriously about what's in you? Has God wrought a work in you that there has been changes, that there has been a change of that who you used to be, that you now see, I used to be blind, but now I see these things. I used to be so deaf. Sermons were boring to me. I didn't understand them. I used to find it long. But now, I'm excited to hear messages from God. I'm excited to hear His Word preached to me and made clear to me. And even things that I don't like to hear. And there are certain preachers that I used to get quite upset about. But they preach things that I needed to hear. I wonder if you have seen some programs, nature programs, like the Blue Planet, with all of its evolutionary ideas and so on. But it's so helpful. I was made to praise God for the things that I could see I'd never seen before of these deep sea creatures. That only when they send out these submarines with their lights to see these things for the first time. And they were ugly things. Horrible looking things. It would give you nightmares. So there should be an age 15 set on the Blue Planet. But they were horrifying things, but they were real things. Lurking around in the dark. These worms and these big teeth creatures that are there. That is what the Lord shows. He goes deep within our hearts and then He shows these things. You know that you had this? Did you know about this matter? Did you know about this matter of self? Self is lurking around in every room of your heart. Which you don't see it. But it's there and God shows it to you. Even our own knowledge of ourselves, it's not final. You might say, well, I don't really do anything wrong. I don't have any bad faults. I don't sin. And someone said to me earlier last week. And I find it amazing. I don't know. It only happens in the open air outreach work that I hear it. So often people say, I'm not a bad person. I don't do bad things. I don't sin. But what you say is not proof that you don't sin. You need a submarine to go into the depths of the ocean of your soul and bring up these images. And that's what the Lord does. And we read in the scriptures, He that judgeth me is the Lord. Our conscience is not the final court. It's not enough to have the approval of our own heart. And what does the Lord say? So that is the thing I want to take with you. What is the Lord saying to me? Has He put me in that everlasting path? That everlasting path, of course, is Jesus Christ. Nobody else like Him could say, I am the way, that everlasting way. He is that way for us towards heaven. And He is our heaven. He is our peace. He is our hope. Friends, you can't show these things to yourself. It's no amount of Bible reading as well will show you. It needs to be the Holy Spirit of God. Take up the scriptures and then applying it to your heart. It should be the Holy Spirit who would enlighten your mind. So every time you read the Bible, you should pray, Lord, enlighten my heart. I remember talking to a 17-year-old young lad and he said, all my life, my parents did these things for me. They homeschooled me. They taught me to memorize the scriptures. I was so ignorant. I was so, it's as if none of those things meant anything to me. But it was when I was reading the scriptures, and I prayed, Lord, this morning, I don't want to just read the Bible. Lord, have a message for me. And that was the worst day of his life. God showed him so many things, and he from the very passages that he had read many times before. And he said, then it was that God saved me. So my friends, we may do all kinds of things for our children, for our neighbors, for our loved ones. And yet if God does not open their hearts, then it will not be useful. So we must pray that, Lord, teach me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We can't see our faults. Other people might see certain things, but we need the Lord to go with His microscope and show our hearts. We see our own sins as in a telescope. They are far away. We see the best of us in ourselves. But my friends, if you met yourself, who you really are, on a dark alley one night, you wouldn't want to go down that path. If God would show us these things, you wouldn't recognize yourself. You remember that account of the prophet Nathan, who spoke to King David. He told King David this story about a rich man who was so unjust and cruel toward a poor man and his little lamb. Do you remember what? David was enraged. He was angry at this man. Why would he do that to this poor man? Why would he take the lamb of and kill this lamb for his friend? He had all the money. He could have got his own lambs, but he didn't. And so David is enraged. He's so angry at this story, and he shouts, "This man must die." He himself was that man, the very man that he hated. And yet he didn't recognize himself until Nathan said to him, "Thou art the man. You are the man." We're all too much like David in these things. If a real diary of our life was to be written, like a story, we would read the chapters, we would think it's somebody else. God sees you, how you have been. God sees you, how you will be as well. He knows where the subtle tendencies of our life are leading us. We do many things which to our own eyes appear innocent and harmless, but which there is a bad seed in them that will become ripe at a later day. There are things that don't appear to be sinful, and we happily take part in it. We permit ourselves to grow into 100 little habits in which we see no danger. But meanwhile, they are spreading the spider's web around our souls, like a weed, twisting their invisible stems into a strong rope, which will be around our hands and our feet later. Friendships are formed. We begin to go down certain paths that seem to be innocent, but will later harm us. God sees it all. That's why we say, "Lord, search me now. Search me. Deal with me now. Don't let me carry on in my life. I want to be always under Thy searching eye. I want to be always in Thy light. And in Thy light we shall see light." We don't have, by nature, spiritual eyes to see the dangers. But the Lord has perfect eyes and sees the future, sees your soul. Jesus Christ, my friends, is the only Savior. This is why we keep calling you to go to Him. He's the only Savior, and that's why He says, "Come and follow Me." That's why He says He's the way. He shows you the way. He is the only guide in this world to take you to heaven. And He says to you, "Come unto Me. Follow Me. I know where I am going. You don't know which is the way. It's not an easy path, yes, but it is the right path. I see you. I know everything about you," the Lord Jesus says to us. "I see where you are going, where you are heading in that path. And that way is dangerous. It is full of heartache. It is full of disappointment. It is an empty path. It is a vain path. It is a passing pleasures path. But follow Me and I'll lead you in your life. And yes, it may have fires. It may have waters. You may have to cross many seas. And yet I will be with you in all the storms of your life. And I will take you to heaven and save you." What does Jesus see, friends? A person who is forgiven? A person who has no sins? A person who has been cleansed by Jesus' blood? Or has been truly converted? Or still there are all kinds of things that you must yet to see. be honest this morning then. Once there was a man who left England and traveled to India. And when he was there, he did do lots of bad things. That if his mother would have known, she would be heartbroken. Now, one night he dreamed a dream. And he saw this drunken man enter into his room. And then this moonlight fell upon this man's face. It was a horrible, ugly looking man, a drunken man. And he saw himself in this. He saw, this is me, in his own dream. And he woke up and he realized that this is what he has been doing. His soul is an ugly soul. And there was a missionary who he sought and was pointed to the Savior. Do you see yourself in 5 years' time, boys and girls? Do you see yourself in 10 years, 20, 30 years? Where would you be? Where would you be spiritually? So this is why the Scripture says these things. And I encourage you with the words of our God. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live. Have you seen yourself this morning? Something that has been said? God's spoken to you in some ways and you say to yourself, well, I really need to go home and pray. I need to pray this prayer each day that God would show me my need of him. And have you thought this morning, I need the Lord Jesus. I need him to show me the way day by day. There was someone who asked, how would I know how to live the Christian life? In one sense, very simple. Look to Christ. Every day, you look to Christ because he is the one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he is the light of this world still. He is that door of heaven. He is that bread from heaven. And he is the one who leads us. The good shepherd did not merely give his life for the sheep, but he leads his sheep into the path everlasting. And so we pray, lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. We love to hear detective stories. We love to hear of things that reveal secrets. But here is the greatest thing. Praise God, Jesus Christ. He went on the cross. He had already seen. Already from eternity. Had seen the need of mankind. Had seen all the evils. And all the those who are lost in their sin. And he agreed to go to the cross. He who saw all of these things said, I must die for my people. I must die to pay for their sins. Will we be rejected by God, friends? Or will he say to us on that final day, no. This man, this woman, this boy, this girl is forgiven. My son died for him. I revealed things to him and made him see that the Jesus, my son, is the only one who would save him. And the Lord Jesus died for him. He has been made clean. I have saved him. Are we willing this morning to have God search us and find out every secret, hidden sins in us? Let him be our accountant this morning. Let him see, show you all the accounts in your soul's bank and see where you are at the moment. Praise God, this is a different kind of an accountant. He doesn't just show your debt, but he pays the debt. Has paid the debt upon the cross. He paid our sin debt. He is full of affection towards sinners. He desires to save souls. And may our prayer be this morning, if you are not converted, Lord, save me. He leads us into the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.